Hello, Truth Be Told family.
Hey, TBT peeps.
Hey, Tasneem.
Hey, Andrea. How are you today?
I am fabulous.
Beautiful. I like a sing-songy hello.
Of course you do. Because it's a run.
There you go. It's my Fantasia on. Fandom coming out.
Oh.
Yes.
That's, gosh. Okay.
Love a good run. Come on, Patty LaBelle.
What other Patty is there, Taz?
Peppermint?
Oh, keep going. Go on. Truth Be Told family, we are so excited to share space with you today. Mm-hmm. I have the pleasure of, you know, oftentimes when we enter into this space, there's no secret that Tasneem and I have planned and talked about topics. And oftentimes she gives me homework. We all know that she's the one that gives the homework and the task to be prepared. Here's an idea. We ideate the heck. I think we ideate like hundreds of topics just in life because it's who we are. It's also in my top five strengths. Ideation is, right? And I think you and I were having a conversation about ideating.
You can stay right
week.
There. Like, you can stay. Let me stop.
Because we know what happens when we just ideate.
Do it?
And we never execute. Mm-hmm. So we have like 1,800 topics, right?
Yes. Truth
Be Told family. Okay, but here's what I'm so excited about. Tasneem has no idea what I'm about to just hit her with.
Yeah.
Truth Be Told family, we have listened to you. We thank you. Let me just pause and say thank you so much for the ongoing support.
Yeah.
We thank you for the love. We thank you for tuning in with us and being on this journey from season one to season four and taking note of our evolution, not only as podcasters, as sisters, but as women. And that's who we identify as, and as Black women.
Yeah.
And you've heard our stories of our work together in the Civil Rights Center. You've heard our stories of all of the things, of what it means to parent, what does sisterhood mean to us, what does Blackness mean to us, and creating revolutions. And Tasneem is one who has... is perfecting how do we build coalitions, and that has led her to a new journey. So, Truth Be Told family, you've been here and witnessed it all for us, and we're grateful, right?
Yes, we are. Absolutely grateful for it all, for being on the ship with us.
Yeah, we thank you. And we're sincere when we say Truth Be Told family. And so I want to start this episode with not only with the space to give thanks, but we heard you. Yep, we heard all of your text messages and we heard all of your phone calls and your DMs and all of the things of what you really want to know. So Tasneem, I'm so excited because Tanya, we know one of our faithful listeners said, I don't think it's fair that you give Tasneem these questions without sharing them. And I was like, I think it's fair.
Hey, maybe another word, fun.
It is going to be fun, but not fair. Yeah. All right, I'll take that. So, Tanya, sorry, I did not prep her for this. I know I considered it, but I'm going to hit her. She loves to speak off the top of her dome and all the bars. So, Tasneem.
Yes.
Today's topics, a series of them.
Self-destruction.
It is. We are headed there, too. Our listeners and some of our favorite folks who love to engage with us, Tanya, Cheryl, Van, Nina, Quintana, Trinity, and the list, Hakeem and Erica and Courtney, the list, Timothy and Daniel, the list goes on. These are folks who regularly give us feedback and they share. I love Darlene. I don't want to just start naming because I'll forget. And then that will be in my DM that you forgot to name me, Andrea. So
all the loved ones.
Family. We've heard your cry. Tasneem, today's topic is all the things that you really want to know about your co-host, but they don't talk about it on the podcast. So we have a list of questions.
Okay.
Everything from, would you ever date outside of your racial makeup and composition to, this is one of my favorites, and I hope we don't get to it. Sorry, Van. Have either of you changed your position or you budge on your opinion on Seabiscuit? So... Van really wants to know, will either of you budge on your opinion on Seabiscuit? Van, no. The answer is no for me. Taz?
I will not. Also, Van, we are steadfast on the sea.
Yeah, we are.
And so, the biscuits.
I answered your question. So do you mind, Tasneem?
What's that?
I'm going to just randomly, I'm going to rapid fire.
I'm going to flow with it with you.
Okay.
I trust you like that.
You trust me?
Uh-huh.
All right. Here we go. You said we headed for self-destruction. So I'm going to start.
Yes.
I'm going to start with one of the questions that Van sent us. And Van asks, what traits does your co-host possess that you envy and admire?
Easy.
What is that?
Oh, my goodness. I love Friends and Fam. Andrea's ability to walk into multiple spaces with a beautiful blend of confidence and creativity. She can read the room. She will find what lane to be in, whether it's the one requested of her or the one she makes. And she will be in that space and still bring a very distinct and poetic and introspective and slightly academic Andrea-ness into that room.
Oh, Taz.
I love it. It could name a place and you will absolutely find a way to create your own zone within it.
Thank you.
You are very
welcome. I'm going to receive that.
Yeah, you should take it.
And I will be thinking of my theme music the next time I walk in a room. And it will not be Shaft, but it will be Shaft-like.
It'll be Shaft-ish.
Shaft-ish.
Yeah.
You just said Kendrick-ish.
I've seen you do it. I've seen you do it.
Oh, you're so sweet.
I've also seen people look forward to your arrival because of that.
I heard like, that's cult-ish, though. Yeah. Oh, my current staff tell me that. They tell me regularly. They don't listen to my podcast, so I can say this. My current staff tell me that, you know, you have like a cult following. I'm like, okay. Like,
no, everybody doesn't get the tambourine welcome. Let's take it.
That's sick. Tazim, thank you.
I have two tambourines in my trunk just for you.
After this, will you remind me to tell you about it? Someone I saw, this performer in Miami, and she just pulled out a tambourine. Ask me later.
Go.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to answer that same question, Van. What is that? What is one?
Thank you, Van, for the question.
One trait. What I do that I envy and admire about Tazneen. And it is her ability to always see the glass half full, right? And I know that's not stereotypical. But one thing I admire most about Tazneen is that she's always going to look for the positive edges for it, even when it feels so freaking yucky, even in the midst of sickness, right? Even in the midst of trauma and hurt, you're going to always bring some levity to it. And I absolutely love that you bring a gentleness. I tease you about your honey lips. And True. You bring levity to a situation. I tease you about that, too. But I absolutely adore it. I walk into spaces like with 17 guns just on a blaze most days. Mm. And you walk into soften. To space. Mm. We have walked into some very intimidating spaces with law enforcement, with like lots of guns that we can count them on, like all their body parts. We've walked into spaces that were all 99% white who were like, can we talk about blackness? We've walked into spaces that could have been very hurtful, you know, spaces. And you offer another way to be in that space. You give me security. You give all of us security to laugh, to find something positive, to find the beauty in that muck. You find the beauty in it. It's like looking at a canvas or like a mud puddle. Now I'm feeling Zora-ish when she says, when we look at a mud puddle, everybody, what people see. But you do see the beauty even in the mud. And that takes, I don't know what that is about you. I tease you. I'm like, how is it that you're going to always look for something positive? Something that's going to bring us joy. Something that we can laugh and get some relief, even when things are crappy as they can be. You do that.
I appreciate you saying that.
And so you bring light.
Thank you.
So the thing that I admire most, which I say to you all the time, is that you bring light to dark situations. Mm. Everybody can do it. Everybody did do it.
I appreciate
so
that.
And thank you for the light.
You opened the door to that. That was
thank you,
beautiful
Van.
Co-host love.
Thank you. Thank you, Van. I appreciate it. So I got one more question from Van,
yes.
Which is, he said, what trait made you feel alienated when you were younger?
Oh. What trait in other people made me feel
alienated? Ourselves. Huh. What personal trait made you feel alienated when you were younger? Maybe he means in other people, too. Or maybe it was when we're about ourselves. I don't know. I haven't had time, so, you know, I haven't had time to answer to think about it as well.
Yeah, We love it. We're flowing with the flow. I think that a trait that made me feel alienated when I was younger and perhaps even now are when I'm in spaces where I'm contemplating my belonging in them. You know, like it could be something where there was an eligibility for attendance, and I already know I didn't quite meet the eligibility requirements, but I'm there because I've been brought along, and it's kind of like, you know, I can, I used to call it like counting ceiling tiles and carpet squares. where I'm like, okay, this will soon be over, which can be an alienation, a self-alienation too. There might That's be tons point. Of awesome connection to be had in that space, but I've already started to sort of find a place to just kind of be till it's over. And I think secondarily, I can be in spaces where if I haven't really tended to myself well, I also feel alienated, meaning I am like tired, spent, frustrated, you name it, whatever thing that I'm dealing with. And I just have a difficulty pulling out more energy when I'm already to that line.
Yes.
And we'll also find a place to sort of sit and count. Tiles. Carpet
or
squares.
Or you bring your crochet.
Oh my God, my crochet.
You crochet.
The crocheting is a way to kind of create a boundary between that low energy or the energy that I'm just wanting to protect. It doesn't yes. have to be low or high. And just, you know, wanting to be like, I'm going to do something with my hands.
Right.
So that my brain isn't so busily figuring out where my station is in this experience. But my hands will be moving, and there's where kind of that monkey mind gets some of its momentum and can stay safe. That's an interesting question about alienation. When you are alienated and when you're alienating yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about for you?
So I'll take the other end of that. The traits that alienate me. Maybe not about myself, because I'm a pause on introspect for a minute. I can tell you, when I was younger, a trait that would just turn me off and alienate me, like... It is know-it-alls, like folk who know it all. I don't think that has changed. I think I'm like 50-ish.
Your tolerance is very low.
Zero now. Zero tolerance. Like I, you talk about when I walk in a room, the way I can, if I walk in and perceive the know-it-all-isk trope, I'm done.
You're finished.
I literally look for exits. And I literally will probably text somebody, get me out of this meeting in 5 minutes. I'm not going to be there. So even as a young person, it would annoy me. And I didn't know how to handle all that annoyance. And I would just be like, huh. And I feel like I need to jump in and say something and like, you know, like maybe prove that I know just as much. That's what I would do when I was younger. But now I'm just like, oh, you poor thing. And that annoys the heck
out of me.
And you
don't want to play.
I refuse. I'm not playing. Yeah. I cannot play that game anymore. I used to try to play it when I was younger. But the know-it-all thing, ugh, it's a turn off.
Yeah.
Right? It's a turn off. I don't care what your subject matter is. It is the biggest in the world.
Okay. And sometimes people are using that to reach out. Isn't that interesting? They're using it to create connection, and it can create this.
I too am this. I am that. And it's like, we know. Yeah. When people rattle off their, did you say, I see dead people? I see missing people. I've been glazed over. We're done. Yeah. And you know, when you rattle off titles and accomplishments and
I know.
I'm so sorry for anybody who does that. And you think
are you really sorry? Sorry, not sorry.
Ooh, and if that offends anybody, I said it out of love. Made me answer it.
Thank you,
Blame
Van.
It on Van.
Blame it on Van.
Yes. All right. One more question. Mm-hmm. This is a good one. A couple of people. I think Tanya asked us this. Tanya asked us. I think also Quintana and Van also. Folks know how we love the written word. And so what book would you recommend to someone trying to find their way in life?
Oh. What book would I recommend to someone trying to find their way in life? You know, I can only think of the author right now.
Give it to me.
Tina Lifford.
Aunt Vi?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Aunt Vi from Queens.
But that is Aunt Vi, right?
Tina Lifford is Aunt Vi. But I can't remember the title of her book. Google it. Tina Lifford's book, Life's Book of Big Lies. The Little Book of Big Lies.
That's it.
The Little Book of Big Lies. It's a good one, y'all. It's a good one. It helps us. First of all, she offers swift reframes. Like, here's how to believe and say and understand this thing differently. She does not make you feel guilty for having the thought, feeling, or thing that you've said or wanted to say or whatever your dealings with that are making you feel a bit out of sorts. Mm-hmm. She doesn't say, we shouldn't feel that way. She says, okay, so now that you do. Now let's work on something she calls inner fitness.
I love Tina. Can I just tell you, I love her. You got me hooked on, not just like, of course, Aunt Vi. I love
yes.
her and her roles on screen.
Yeah.
But the inner fitness.
She's magnificent.
Oh, man.
So
can you
real.
Make it like, and to invite her to join
Isn't
us on
awesome?
Our podcast?
Do you remember when I signed up for one of her online communities?
I know.
And I thought I might have been the only person who did.
And you were like, oh, guess what? I'm going to be including women. Yeah. And it's 17,000 people. And I was like,
oh.
For a minute.
Tasneem felt special. Yeah. I thought, I reached into her computer and said, that one in Nashville.
I guarantee you, Tina Lifford is thinking that. Uh-huh. And if you know her, anybody knows her, Taz and I would love for her to come play with us.
Yes. Hey, Tina.
Hi.
I know.
Be in conversation.
And just
with
her openness, her Instagram stories, and the way she pulls you along with what she's dealing with
and how she's living. I literally have a screenshot. Okay, this is Van's question, but I'm going to get to it. I took a screenshot of something she said the other day, and I wanted us to talk about it.
She's
Oh my gosh.
And did I get the title right, sis? Life's Little Book of Big Lies.
It's Big Lies. Yep.
It's yellow. Right,
so of course I can't find it, but it is
yellow.
A direct quote from her that talks about building community and loving in these moments and how to love. Anyway. All right. So book for me, but not necessarily as much as a self-help-ish kind of book. Mm-hmm. Can you guess the author?
Zora Neale Hurston.
You got it.
Ding, 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 boy.
Did you have to say it? What's the oh boy? Wait a minute.
One name was in the hat. Let me pull it out. Ho, ho, ho.
I'm feeling some kind of way, truth be told, family. I didn't do that. Did I give her that same level of energy with her book? Or when she brought in Seabiscuit?
I'm going to take it
back. Or when she brought in Seabiscuit to name your favorite classic black BIPOC movie, and she gave me Seabiscuit. I didn't respond that way.
Biscuits are brown.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. My book that I would recommend is Their Eyes Were Watching God.
Yes. Come on, Janie.
Because of the lessons of life and of love and of liberation.
Yes. And doing it anyway.
The love and the mislove. See, there's some mislove in that. Mm-hmm. The idea of going from discovery to unlearning, or going from unlearning to discovery, searching for truth about self and doing it in spite of, going from that thing which was tradition and what the ways that we've always done it to a new way of seeing and
being
and loving.
That's right.
And so I would recommend Their Eyes Were Watching God.
I think those are perseverance. Two great, great titles.
Yes, I do. Yeah. Both of our books. All right. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Van, Tanya. And Quintana. All right, I'm shifting gears a little bit. Tasneem.
Mm-hmm.
And this one comes from also one of our little mentee sisters, Nina Naismith. Mm-hmm. Nina asked a series of questions, so I'll just randomly pick one of them. The first one is, what's the best piece of advice you have ever been given?
Oh, gosh. Okay, straight off the dome. There's this awesome sister in Syracuse, where I grew up. Her name is Sandy Smokes. She's a columnist and great writer, just great person. I remember I was grappling with this idea of whether or not to move south, specifically to Tennessee, and I felt like I had all these options. And she was a mentor of mine, and I laid out the options, and she listened to them and even asked questions. And she said, you know, Tasneem, I don't think there's a wrong way to go.
Nice.
That was it. She was like, I think you're going to find what you're looking for on either path. And if you don't, I think you'll find your way back to the path you need.
I love it.
It was, it didn't give me the go to Nashville or go to Miami or I think you should try DC. It was, sis, just go.
And you live by that sometimes.
Sometimes I have to remember that. Yeah. I have to remember there's not this binary where it's like good, bad. You know, blessed, unblessed, favored, unfavored. There's like all these other meandering opportunities in between. So just go. Jump.
I love it.
You're going to find something. Mm. Or it will find you.
Or it will find you.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about you? Best advice.
Best, like you, off the top of my head, it's got to be from Kathleen Rogers. Dr. Kathleen Rogers was one of my principals back early on, mentor, a sister that I still think is absolutely, you know, amazing, right? And Kathleen was our principal, assistant principal at the time. And we formed a relationship, me and William and Sharonda, all of us formed a relationship with Kathleen and her expectations of us. I'm not going to go into detail about all of the shenanigans that we would. You know, we had this amazing vice principal who is a sister who's looking out for us. And, you know, we want to have card parties. We're a small group. We're all teaching third grade and William was fifth. And we would do all these things and have these expectations that we party on the weekend. And you know, Monday morning, you know, I might not have had my lesson plan on my desk. And Kathleen taught me about expectations of self, living to my expectations of self versus expectations of others. She reminded me of, I have this expectation of you, but what is your expectation of yourself? Like, yes, I require that your lesson plans be on your desk on Monday morning. When it doesn't matter that we kicked it all Sunday night. I expect them to be on here. But it's not even about that. What is your expectation of yourself? And it reminded me of, like, I've always lived up expectations to my mom, my grandfather, my family, all of the people. I live up to these expectations of other folk. But what is my expectation of myself? And so the best piece of advice, Nina, that I will say from Kathleen is learn to honor your own expectations.
And that doesn't that release the other people who are saying it's freedom. You should do this?
And you talk about freedom, that is freedom.
That's good.
Because I'm not going to always meet I won't even meet all my own
That's
expectations.
Good.
But that softening of letting people down because I didn't rise to their level of expectation is less when it's just me, because it's me navigating myself in my space.
Love that.
Thanks, Nina.
Thank you. And the person who said that to you?
Kathleen Rogers, Dr.
Okay.
Kathleen Rogers.
Dr. Kathleen Rogers, thank you.
Yes, thank you, thank you. This is a good one. This is a good one. Nina asked this question. What is your biggest challenge when you're navigating PWI spaces, whether that's I wish you could have seen Tasneem's face, everyone. Whether that is a space that you were in school, or and how do you cope with the challenge? And because she's looking at it that we both work in place in spaces that we are in constant conversation around liberation and equity and coalition building and justice and process and what's fair and just and humane. And oftentimes we are in space, whether it's all BIPOC. And then sometimes we're in space that we're trying to, it may be stakeholders or folks who are, it's predominantly white spaces. She wants to know from us, two people who are steeped in trying to eradicate notions of anti-blackness. How do we handle PWI situations?
Wow. A couple things. I'm reminded that I'm often not in those spaces anymore, because I've shifted to coalition building spaces.
I wish you could see my face, people.
It's Go true.
But is that to say that coalition building is usually not steeped in PWIs? That's a sidebar question. I'm so sorry.
It's a great question, because I think we carry the ways in which we navigate PWI spaces into spaces with people who are Black, brown, and gold, right? So Mosaic Changemakers is largely a space that offers the cushion of a kind of cultural likeness. And within that likeness, there's all kind of differentiation. But if you look around the room in our seminars, I think a great kind of optical comfort comes from feeling as though we skin folk. And that in itself has tons of implications, right? And when people talk about who's visibly melanated and who's not, and, you know, are you still this if your eyes are blue or if your lips are thin or if your name is not, you know, multisyllabic? But I think PWI spaces that I once occupied on a daily basis, I do remember this kind of, and I'm not far off of it, right? We still live in the United States of America. I remember this coping strategy of trying to figure out which Tasneem to be in a certain space.
Ditto.
And it didn't mean necessarily that of the Tasneems to choose from, I was choosing a Tasneem that I didn't enjoy being, right? I am all of her. I'm all of she, right? But I do remember the exercise of selection, right? It's a kind of like weight. There's a difference between going outside and already being dressed for the weather and going outside and being dressed for the other spaces you'll go into. Mm. So because I know the air conditioning's high over there, I always carry a sweater or a scarf kind of thing. When I'm just outside, I'm dressed naturally to take care of who I am in the natural environment.
That's a great example.
So when I go into others, I have to think, do I have my scarf?
What armor? Yeah.
And I specify, sometimes a scarf feels good, right? Sometimes I'm going to only give you a little bit of me and sort of nestle in the other versions of me that are more comforting, because I don't want to become that intimate. I'm not quite sure what this space is yet.
Yes.
And other times, because I might know the people, I will feel like, hey, I can go bear arms. We're good here. But it's always a contemplation.
It's something that is with us. It doesn't, like, I don't know if I've ever walked in a PWI space and didn't know it was a PWI space.
For some people, that is absolutely truly how they move.
I know.
That's not me.
I
understand. But for some people, they are.
I know.
It would be the flip. Mm. That they've, you know, I grew up. I'm a child of the Great Migration.
I love the way we're tap dancing around some of these things, but it's good.
It is. I'm a child of the Great Migration. We left predominantly Black spaces, right? Where we, of course, still had to read rooms and decorum and all that. I'm not saying people were just out willy-nilly just being emotional in all their being. Not that. But I do think there are certain, again, there's a certain kind of level of comfort in looking around and seeing a certain kind of sameness. We call this sacred segregation,
yes.
You and I. So the family leaves the South and goes to New York. You are already in a place that is chilly emotionally and climatically. It is cold.
It is. Yeah.
And so you huddle together on the margins, mm-hmm. for warmth, for comfort, for familiarity, for being able to know where you can get the best collard greens, what stores you can go in that are going to treat you right. Like, all of that is shape-shifting behavior.
Yeah.
Whereas there are other spaces, FAMU might be one. Florida A&M might be one. HBCUs might be another. I don't know. So our family spaces might.
Correct.
And we're not doing that contemplation. That work doesn't have to be done as readily. But so I think that there's a hunger that comes from great migration people. That when you get into those other spaces where you don't have to shapeshift, it feels almost like an irrepressible, wild excitement. You're like, oh my God, what is this? Like, you almost don't know what it is. And it's because you've spent all this other time kind of muted a little bit.
Mm.
Or I have this sweater on and I came outside and they said, you know, it's 90 degrees, baby. You can take the sweater off. I'm like, I can? And you take it off and you feel the kiss of the sun. I don't have to be clothed. I can let my skin breathe. And so that's what coming into home-like environments feels like. And it only makes you turn around and go, I don't know if I ever really even liked that scarf.
Right.
Or that sweater was itchy. Right. But it's only because you can compare it. So I know there's a flip.
There's another side. There is a flip to them. Yeah.
There's a flip to it. So I think for me, it's like knowing it gives me space because then I'm prepared. I always have a scarf. Literally. I always have a little bit.
Figuratively.
I do. Yeah. I always have a little bit of armor that I keep in my back pocket. There are conversations that I know don't really have a place in those spaces. I don't want to have, you know, heavy exploratory or explanation kind of conversations. I may only talk about 40% of who I am. I may leave out a whole bunch of detail.
Right.
And I may then revel when I don't have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so then those other spaces, those home spaces, I'll call them, for all the ways that certain spaces can be home, I relish the opportunity to not have to suck in my gut.
I love that. Yeah.
You know, I can just kind of free flow. Yeah. You know, I don't have to explain. Remember we did an episode on like the 50 different ways you can say the word girl.
Yeah.
And how we knew
girl.
And what it meant. Like that's home language.
That is home language.
And, so,
and I don't get that level of familiarity or comfort. Or for me, it's a desire. I don't have a desire to show up in certain spaces giving the 50 different ways that I can say girl. I don't have a desire to do that. And so I don't. And so Nina said the challenge of how do we do it? And you said you always have a sweater. You're always prepared. You know,
always.
You're armored. You're prepared.
Yeah.
And I would answer the same way. But I think that part of that challenge, part of how I would answer the challenge piece is getting comfortable with knowing who I am.
Mm-hmm.
When I enter into these spaces,
mm-hmm.
and not having, and there are days that we all know what it's like to shape shift, and I don't care. I was just
every human
that.
Does
every
it.
Every human,
I think.
We do, mm-hmm. We do it. If you're from, you know, if you're from a certain region, mm-hmm. and then you move to another region, you're trying to figure out what that person is and figure them out. And I am comfortable. I've had to get to this place. So people are always, people love to ask us, when you all first started on this journey, when you first became programmers and oral historians, like, what's the first tip you can give us? Think about how many times the Library Journal have asked us that question. When we started out, how did we begin having conversations around race in a library? And so I'm going to answer Nina's question. Like, I'm comfortable. I had to learn how to become comfortable with self. Mm-hmm. And learning to be comfortable with self gave me some tools of knowing when I was going to cloak and when I want to mask and when I want to unmask and not be pressured to unmask. And also, Nina, I part of the challenge, my toolkit, is also realizing, like, I'm no longer carrying your emotional work, your emotional labor. So a lot of times when we show up in PWI spaces, there's a lot of emotional tax that comes with that. I do not.
You're not paying that tax.
I'm not. That's not my toll booth to pay. So you have your own coin change purse to pay your own tax. Sure. It's not mine anymore. Yeah. And so Nina said, how do we navigate it? That's how I've learned to navigate it. I can't say 20 years ago, you and I weren't navigating and trying to figure out how to make everybody comfortable sitting around that lunch counter, making sure that we're bringing everyone into the conversations and making sure that we are acknowledging something that is said that is so off the cuff that you know it is absurd. Like, I don't see color, or, you know, that police, he's got that clubbed her head. Maybe he was protecting her with it. I no longer am carrying that the weight of that emotional labor and the tax of what comes into PWI spaces. I'm comfortable with who I am, and which means I will mask and cloak as I choose.
Love it.
I will enter into that space I choose, but I'm always armored. And I never go in with the intent to, This is gonna be hard. I don't know if I always show up in those spaces to seek out and create new. You create coalitions. You're building coalitions. I don't know if I always enter into the space looking to build allies and co-conspirators. I don't know. I'm being honest. And so some of the tools, Nina, is that we have to assess each space for itself.
That's right? Good.
And each situation and each space that we're in. And there are times that you and I walk in and you're building coalitions, black, brown, and gold. There are times when we walk in and I know we have to have stakeholders at the table and we want them to be on board. Then there are other times that I don't have it in me. And so knowing self and knowing what I'm getting into when I walk in a space, and always, you know, like we used to tell the kids, I'm just giving you some tools for your toolbox. Prepare yourself. Because you're gonna run into this situation.
You're gonna need some.
Yeah, that was a good question. Thank you, Nina.
Yeah, that's good.
Biggest challenge in navigating PWI spaces. Ooh, I know. As we both say, ooh. All right, here is something a little bit fun, a little bit more. Quintana, I love this question. Tanya asked the same question. Quintana, I hope you're doing well. She also has had some transitions and changes in her life.
Quintana.
So her question is, what three things would you have with you if you were stranded on an island for a month? Okay, now pause with that. So she's like, three things that we would take if we were stranded on an island for a month. And then Tanya says, though, if you're stranded on an island, I need to know what one CD that you will play over and over and over again that will give you sanity until somebody arrives. Not a playlist. Like an author or an album. Yes, pretend just for kicks and giggles that there is a CD player there. So we're stranded on an island. What are some things you would take with you? Two to three things. And also, if you had, like, what's your one album, CD, playlist, album, artist kind of thing?
Can we do music first?
Yes. Okay. We can even just do the music.
I think I would do Jill Scott.
Ooh.
Is it 365 experience? Ooh. Days of experience? I just only see the CD in my head. It's like a live album.
Okay, yeah.
It's black and red. I think she's like facing a microphone. I would bring that because the array of songs and the lyrics would probably meet me where I was in the month-long experience of going from like loneliness to panic to hope to freedom. Ooh. To chilling. Like, oh, I'm on a beach. You know, like all of that. I think I would get that somewhere in one of those songs.
And all of that.
Yeah.
And that would help you and save you on your island for a month.
I think so.
I like it. I know I had some, before I read the You Can't Give Us a Playlist, I've got Jill Scott on every playlist, all 123 of them. Jill is Jilly from Philly is on all of my playlists. Mm-hmm. But if I had to pick one CD to listen to an entire month, that's going to keep me sane.
Yeah.
Ooh, I know what you think it is, but I'm going to mess you up and it's not what you think it is. Okay. It is Greatest Hits of Marvin Gaye.
Ow! Shocker!
Messed you up, didn't it? Because there's no one way to... for me to be, Taz. You thought it was going to be Tupac.
You don't know me like that.
You thought it was going to be Pac, didn't you?
I thought it was going to be Jaheim.
That is on my playlist too. But if I mean, so in the reason, if I'm stranded for a month and the one thing that's going to keep me going through music, it's got to be some things from the past. And so I remember listening to my mom and uncle, of course, introduced me to the great Marvin Gaye, my aunt. I remember where I was when his father died. I remember the day. I remember where I was. I remember my aunt picked us up from my great-grandmother's. I remember it all.
Yeah.
I remember my sister and I singing duets to Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, which I still do now. And I remember listening to October London last week saying, ooh, Marvin is like, you living through this. So there's some newness in the what's going on, helping me try to figure it out. But also I'm keeping a little pieces of those memories of yesteryear. So it'd be great to say that Marvin Gaye. And on that, you've got all of the duets with Tammy Terrell, which I still think is the greatest duo ever of all time.
I love it.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right. Thank you, Quintana. Thank you, Tanya.
Yes.
All right, Taz, I'm going to shift gears for a few minutes. This one is, Tanya wanted to know if you could start your life over.
Ooh.
That's a question. If you could start your life over, start your life from scratch, would you end up in the same place? Everyone, I wish you could see Taz's eyes. If you could start your life over, do you think you would end up in the same place? You're starting over from scratch.
No, I don't think
so. Say more.
You know, I mean, I wouldn't have even made, I would have studied something different, related, but different. I think I would have traveled more. I would have had, maybe, I would have been on my fifth passport.
Ooh. Well,
yes. I'm just jelly. Would have filled that thing up.
Yeah, same.
I would have traveled more if I could start my life from scratch. I would have gone to more parties.
You?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean... I was very, very focused.
You know there's no time, like, now. But go on. You were very focused.
Very focused.
As if you couldn't be focused and partying. What is
that? Well, now
that?
I know
That's
that.
False.
I now know
myth.
That. I now know that.
Right.
If I could start over, I probably
I mean, it might have taken you 5 years to graduate. However, it's still a myth. But go on.
I think I would have said yes to more parties.
Yes.
I would have said yes. Let me think of if I could start my life over from scratch. I would have started a few things earlier. I would have gardened sooner. And I would have considered volleyball and track with more seriousness as a college athlete.
I like it.
I think I would have, yeah.
I like it. So you'd have ended, how would that have shaped like where you ended up now?
I'm pretty sure I would still, I just would have multiple addresses.
Hmm.
I think I would. You know, I have a very sort of like, I've lived in the North, I lived in the South, I've traveled a bit, but I would have had more experiences in different spaces that weren't just like trips.
I like it.
You know?
Yeah.
I would have eaten more from that plate of just adventure.
Yeah.
What about you?
From scratch? Start over from scratch?
Oh,
yeah.
Lord.
I know, it's scary. Yeah. I would not have ended up in the same place.
You wouldn't
no,
be right here.
Come on.
You would not be in Nashville Public Library in here recording a podcast.
Definitely not.
Where would you be?
Who knows? That's the beauty of like starting over from scratch. I too would have traveled more. I've had opportunities to study abroad, and because of fear and kind of tradition, I didn't do it in undergrad. I regret it, right? I regret getting a passport like late in life. And so I would have done more of that. I would have taken more, you know, I would have been honed in on speaking more languages. Right,
yes,
I would have. I would have
great
been.
Point,
I would have
point.
Been bilingual in both French and Spanish.
Yes.
And I would have done all. I would have done all of that. Not necessarily because I want to travel, but because of that. It's just because the beauty of a spoken word. I would have done that. I would have kept up my piano lessons. I would have kept up a lot of good habits that I let go because of time and constraint and life shifts. You know, like getting them going to the gym at 4 o'clock. I used to do that, you know, when I was in ROTC, I would hit PT in the mornings. I would be out there. I would have kept up a lot of those things. I there were lots of things that would be different. So I would have ended up, I probably would, I don't know if I could party anymore. I probably would need to party less. Because I got it in. Okay.
I love that question. That's a good one.
I know. Thank you. Thanks,
Tanya. Do we have time for one more?
I think we have time for one more. This one is, I'll try and kind of combine them. One of them is, when was the last time you cried? Let's save that one. I don't want to end on that one. When was the last time you laughed so hard that your eyes watered and your side hurt and you were just gasping with laughter?
Oh, wow. Wow. I'm pretty sure it was some video one of the children shared with me.
Okay.
And I just thought it was hilarious to the point of watching it over and over.
Okay.
Social media has that way of giving us sort of an unexpected kind of thing. But the point, too, is that you can watch it over and over.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It happened, and then now you can kind of relive it, but also relive the joy of it.
Yes.
So I'm going to say something I was doing with my children, and they said, Mom, you got to see this. And unfortunately, it probably meant somebody fell, but was fine.
So it was
somebody
a video,
took a tumble. Yes.
And there you have
it. Yeah.
Okay.
What about you?
Oh, I know when it was. The last time I laughed, I can't, because I remember saying in that moment, I haven't laughed this. I had tears.
Yes.
And it was when we were in, where we were in Alabama, most south.
Yeah.
And it was one of those late nights and we were up and I was going to do me and go back to my room.
Yeah.
And my cohort, my most south fam, you know, Marcella, said, stay down here with us, Andrea. We got drinks. We got to stay down and hang out. And, you know, Suzanne was like, you're going to give us 15 minutes. You can do it. And I was, you know, being me and wanting to go back and, you know,
relax,
decompress all of the, you know, as an extrovert, I still need my time. But Marcella, Suzanne, and Jeremy convinced me to hang out with the rest of the cohort. Uh-huh. And when I tell you, we laughed so hard because we kept bringing it back. You know, we had gone to the exhibit, Mothers of Gynecology, and there was a little dog there.
Yes.
And that dog.
Michelle, if you hear this, we love your dog.
We do, but he was part of the story. And I'm trying to keep it together. When I and I took pictures, of course, of the dog, and
the
dog kept appearing in all of our pictures. And when Suzanne was reading the plaque, the dog was there. And he became like, I don't know, where's Waldo in all the pictures? When I tell you, I laughed so hard.
Oh, wow.
Because Lord said, where is he? Like, we're recapping. Everybody made it home. Everybody made it safely. And then we asked if the dog was there. I haven't laughed that hard in such a...
Isn't that fun?
I was in tears.
Yes.
And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
So it was loud. It was with my Mo Sal family that I
love
laughed.
I
cried.
I love that.
Oh, gosh.
I have one more to add that we were together.
Please.
With our good friends.
When we were out
and
to
loved
eat.
Ones.
Yes.
John Topes. Angela Howard. Yes. And one of them was explaining how they left the house very early in the morning to retrieve a lost roll of toilet paper from their truck.
I'm sorry.
And they had no toilet paper in the house, but remembered some was in their truck. And it happened to be 5 in the morning. And they decided to venture outside.
I have not. You're right.
In their underclothes.
And seen by a neighbor.
And the neighbor.
While
he was there in his underclothes.
And then the conversation shifted to...
Oh, the wait staff joined in.
Yes.
You asked if the t-shirt looked like Winnie the Pooh's t-shirt.
And tidy whitey.
And I remember us all looking around just laughing.
Oh, you're right. That was
a great moment.
Levity. Yep. I love it. Thank you so much, Cheryl and Van and Nina and Cortana and Trinity and Hakeem and Erica and Courtney and everyone else who submitted yours. We don't have time. We have 3 pages of questions, I promise.
We'll get back to them again.
But we wanted to take a minute to say thank you for tuning in. And thank you for asking, wanting to know us beyond us as in scripted, truth be told, topics.
I like it.
So
thank you for the curiosity.
Thank you.
We appreciate that.
And we would love to know what else you want us to be in conversation
about. Yeah. We'll do a listener write-in.
Sounds good.
I love it. And until then, this is Truth Be Told. All right, we are almost out, but we are certainly Truth Be Told, and we want you to remember who we are and tell other people. We'd like you to like, share, follow, and subscribe. Truth Be Told, and that's going to be at Truth Be Told Pod, P-O-D at the back, at Truth Be Told Pod. Let people know what you're listening to. Let us know what you like that you're listening to. Let us know what you don't like. And then we'll see you next time. And remember, this is Truth Be Told.